today's news.
Hello, welcome to Old News, the programme and podcast which looks at news stories of the day through the papers of yesterday. The second part of our little celebration of Bonfire Night, fireworks and bonfires. A bit more on bonfires in particular this week, although fireworks feature as well, of course. It is that time of the year. Has it disappeared? I don't know. It certainly disappeared if you go back to the early part of the 20th century, when war was around. Looking at the First World War, for example, Sunday, October the 20th, 1917, in the Isle of Man Examiner, bonfires and fireworks prohibited. Guy Fawkes' anniversary not to be celebrated. We are requested by the government office, the article says, to draw attention to Regulation 26 of the Defence of the Realm Regulations, which provides generally that no person shall light any bonfire or ignite or otherwise make use of fireworks which could serve as a signal, guide or landmark. Bonfires and fireworks must not, therefore, be lighted or ignited 1 hour after sunset. There will be no relaxation of the provisions of this regulation on the 5th of November next. Better news, by 1919, the end of the First War, of course, the Isle of Man Examiner, Saturday, July the 12th of that year, peace celebration, bonfires. It having been decided that bonfires, etc., on the mainland shall be lighted on the evening of the 19th of July, 1919, in celebration of the signing of peace, His Excellency the Lieutenant Governor hereby notifies local committees and others in charge of bonfires in the Isle of Man that the lighting of such bonfires shall take place at 11 p.m. on the same date as on the mainland. We'll skip forward to 1951, November the 9th, the Isle of Man Examiner. Bonfire Night was a brilliant show in a more, what shall we say, carefree age. Bonfire Night, with all its bangs and cracks, whooshes and whizzes, screaming girls and yelling schoolboys, and roaring, crackling bonfires, went into its annual disturbance of the winter peace on Monday. The promenade and the shore drew the crowds to watch seven bonfires, yes, seven, spaced along from Broadway, traditional focal point of November the 5th, to Summerhill. All the way along, their youthful custodians, clad in Wellingtons, Macintoshes, and blackened to the ears, heaped on packing cases, tyres, mattresses, and all sorts of junk to keep them going. Flip-flops, that's the firework, not the things you put on your feet. Cannons, flying imps and rockets went off in a continuously shattering series of explosions and showers of sparks. Impish youngsters distributed bangers in all directions and sent crowds of screeching girls flying. No one seemed particularly worried about injury, it seems. Unfortunate indeed was the gentleman sitting on the promenade railings enjoying it all, that is, until somebody heaved a cracker at him and he disappeared into the Stygian darkness of the shore behind a mighty flash. Did anyone care? Was he all right? Apparently not. Unfortunate, too, was the young lady who held a tuppenny one in her hand and waited for the preliminary fizz to give warning of the bang. There was no fizz, just bang, as she found out to her subsequent anguish. And lack of hand, maybe. It's not detailed. Nor cared about, apparently. In a night of imminent heart failure, perhaps, the worst case was that of the gentleman praying for the safety of his favourite public house, which he thought was threatened by the flames of an especially large blaze driven across the road from the shore by a fierce inshore wind. Yet, all fun in the world for everyone but Douglas Fire Brigade, who kept up a continuous patrol of the town with a fire tender from 5 p.m. to 11 p.m. They had three bonfires to deal with at Railway Terrace, the Green off Broadway, and at Harris Terrace. Not that they wanted to put them out, they had to because of the danger, and they preferred to prevent a serious fire before it started, rather than have to call out the rest of the crew standing by at the fire station for a full-scale blaze. The Harris Terrace fire was perhaps the most dangerous. Back doors and telegraph poles and wires had already been scorched, and it had to be put out like all the others, in spite of the wistful entreaties of the children. But, as Chief Officer Fred Courty of the brigade says, we don't have to worry about it now for another year. Good man. 1953, a coronation bonfire was too good. This was in the Alibman Examiner of June the 5th of that year. The Russian Fire Brigade received a call for assistance at the coronation bonfire on Bradda Head, when due to the strong northerly winds, the fire got out of control and flying sparks ignited the heather. Don't think it was the first or last time there. The brigade managed to control the fire by pumping water from a nearby water tank. The section of the brigade returned to the station around 4 a.m. It was more a worry about language, apparently, amongst bonfire makers in 1955, according to an article in the Alibman Examiner, Friday, October the 7th. Bonfires make bad language at Onken. 29 days to bonfire night, but already people down at Onken say the air is crackling with bad language, we are told in the article. Mr. R.S. Watterson told Onken commissioners on Tuesday, "The language used by some of the boys making bonfires in the park area is simply terrible. And there are girls of only 13 or 14 with the boys. It's disgusting." But fellow commissioners said the board could do nothing about the bad language. It was a matter for the police. Before the board was a complaint that the park bonfire at the rear of Alberta Drive was too near to adjoining property. The clerk will investigate the complaint. Another bonfire that had to be moved is detailed in the Alibman Examiner of Friday, November the 9th, 1956. So big was the bonfire prepared opposite Nobles Hall in Westmorland Road on Guy Fawkes Day, authorities had to step in and move it to the beach near Broadway. The children of the district had collected a gigantic pile of old tyres, boxes, old oil drums, sounds safe, mattresses and inflammable material ready for the evening blaze. When they understood that it was too big for safety, they helped load a lorry three times to take the pile to the beach. There, without endangering any property, they enjoyed one of the biggest blazes for years. As well you might. And finally, from 1951, the Alibman Times, Saturday, November the 10th. More of the same hijinks, it seems. Bonfires and bangs. Bonfire night went off with a bang, or rather, a lot of bangs. No serious incidents or fires were reported, however. Firemen were on the alert and extinguished three fires which threatened danger. The popular rendezvous was the promenade and shore where seven fires were lit. Boys had hijinks throwing fireworks at unsuspecting people, and one or two thoughtless ones directed their aim at moving cars. Children watched wistfully as firemen put the fire out on the green. This is the same fire I was detailed earlier. Sadly, one little girl sadly said, "They've spoilt it." But a boy was whooping, "It's just like Woolies," as rivulets of water ran down the gutters and a mass of sodden garbage gave off steam and a little smoke where earlier there had been a red blaze. While firemen kept a watchful eye on other fires, they only extinguished those which threatened danger. Fireworks did not appear to be quite as bright and loud as formerly, but rockets were spectacular as they described colourful arcs in the sky. And then, as now perhaps, popular adult opinion, it's noted, is that it's not as good as the old days. But children seem to enjoy it still. They think Fawkes was not such a bad guy after all. I'll leave that one for you to ponder. Is bonfire night the same now as it was then? Was it the same in 1950 as it was in 1900? Whichever way you look at it, you can guarantee it's old news. Cheerio. You're gonna be yesterday's news.